Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So aside from Phil's Cavs getting a lot of run on social media, golf season's off and running, and it's been a pretty good start. And we've got really the dawn of a new era. Paul Azinger makes his official debut as the NBC new lead analyst tomorrow. It's the WGC Mexico Championship. I believe Phil won that a year ago in extra holes, I think, and also a part of the network coverage over the course of the next six weeks on the PGA Tour. Live coverage of the WGC Mexico can be seen on Thursday and Friday on the Golf Channel. Third and final round coverage will continue on NBC this weekend. Zinger, what's going on, buddy? Welcome back, Tiki and Tierney. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. It's great to be on with you guys. Rondé Barber played in Tampa for us, and I say us. It's like, you know how it is when the player shoots 90? Yep. He shot 90, he shot 68, we shot 68.
Yep.
We, because that's, Rondé was awesome. And Tiki, you too, man. I admire both you guys forever.
My golf game is nowhere near Rondé's. Rondé can sometimes shoot in the 80s or in the 70s. I have never broken 90.
He doesn't play much, though, Paul. He doesn't play much.
Me and BT are the same.
Hey, look, it's always that way, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he lives in Florida. I mean, and all his buddies are golf pros, and he knows all of you all, so he gets some tips and pointers and clubs. I got to take his hand-me-downs and hope that it's not raining or snowing on any given day. Look, BT and I were just talking about the new schedule as it's come out with the Players in March and obviously the Masters, and then you get the PGA in May, U.S. Open, and then the Open Championship in June and July, respectively. How does that change anything for the golfers? Does it feel more like a season as opposed to having it kind of spread out? And also, as BT and I always talk about, competing with the NFL, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you're not going to win that battle against the NFL. And the tour's been trying to, they've been trying to avoid going up against the NFL for a long time, and they thought the original FedEx Cup was going to do that. But the next thing you know, you're just bleeding right into the NFL season. But I think they've got a true handle on it now.
Yeah.
But in order to do it, they had to create a wraparound season. You know, the Florida Swing was like the sixth or seventh or eighth tournament of the year, seventh probably of the year. Now it's the 16th or 17th tournament of the year. It's just different, and it takes some getting used to. The schedule change, I think, is really interesting. The old schedule for TPC Sawgrass was in March, always in March, and I love that date. I was one that didn't really like the move to May. I like the idea that they're moving back. I'm shocked that the PGA of America took the PGA from August and moved it to May.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a fantastic date for them, and it's going to give them a lot more options where they can go, because let's face it, in August it's hot everywhere,
yeah,
and they can never get the greens up to speed like they'd like at the PGA Championships, because it'll kill them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That
and
is true.
There's been a lot of adjustments made. You know, Tiger's never been down here in Mexico City to play, but he's here now.
I know. And Phil won it last year, right?
Mickelson won last year. I can see, you know, after going around this course, I've been around it twice now. It's tree-lined and it's tough, but, man, it's the bomber's paradise, because you can hit long irons out there where these other fellows are hitting their driver. You got them beat. And, you know, it's Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, DJ, and Phil. Basically, we're all the guys in contention the last few years. So they're bombers. This course, to me, sets up perfect for Tiger and that bullet two-iron. I think he's going to hit a lot of those, and I think these guys are going to get seven or eight wedges every day.
Interesting.
They'll probably eat it up.
Yeah,
it's awesome, though. It's just like L.A. You know, the grass is that Kikuyu stuff, and it's the Polenta greens. It's exactly the same. I don't know. I'm thinking Tiger all the way. And he's a guy that's really had to adjust his schedule.
Yep.
He finished second at the Valspar last year. I don't know if he'll even play that this year because of the new schedule. So it's interesting to see. It's weird to look at the money list and see all these guys that did all their damage in the fall, and you're like, well, what happened? I didn't even see it. I was watching football.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right, man.
That's
so
funny.
Paul, let me ask you this. I've talked to Paul Azinger, new lead analyst for the Golf Channel here, NBC, of course, and we've got a good event coming up this weekend. Paul ran through some of the names. J.B. Holmes, Let's face it. I mean, we always joke, Tiki and I are poor golfers, but I watch a lot more golf than Tiki. I'll watch the European event. I'll try to get tips. I'll watch it all the time. I don't want to watch J.B. Holmes play a back nine in 3.5 hours. Now, I'll watch Tiger. I'll watch Phil. I'll watch Dustin Johnson. I'll watch Brooks Koepka play golf if it's a slow pace on the back nine. J.B. Holmes, no disrespect to J.B. Holmes. I'm not interested in that. However, I know that it was a very odd weekend in the sense starting, stopping, starting. Was he really at blame, or was it the circumstances of the weird weather that gives him an out for the slow play? How did you see it?
Well, JB's one of my good buddies. He was on our winning Ryder Cup team back in 2008. He was kind of the hero in a lot of ways. And so I really like him, but he's got to go faster. He's got to figure out a way to go faster. He needs to be more ready before he starts going into that pre-shot thing. It's just too slow. Slow play's been a problem on the tour since it began, I think. And I remember Trevino complaining about how slow it was in the 60s and 70s, and Nicklaus was the problem, and blah, blah, blah. The only solution to slow play the first few days is to shorten the field, which I'm against. And the only other solution is to penalize these guys. J.B. Holmes, in his defense, wasn't even on the clock.
I know.
That group wasn't out of position, so what's he supposed to do? I mean, he's playing for millions. He could have been caught off guard because Justin Thomas let a four-shot lead go away. And then all of a sudden, you're leading. That'll put you in lockdown if you're not careful. And I think J.B. Holmes can go into lockdown. I believe it's a negative effect on his game, even though he won. He's going to have to figure out a way to pull that stuff all together a little quicker, or he's just a royal pain to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Even as you guys are buddies, and you say that, so I don't feel bad about what I said.
He's like lining up.
I love him. I'll say something to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
Tell him to pick it up. Dude, pick up the pace, Holmes.
He was lining up the one-footers with, like, his club.
I know.
Like, hey, I'm like, what are you doing?
Come on, man. Just tap it in with your big toe.
Hey, you ever hit a one-footer on Poana Greens late in the day?
No.
As long as it's green, I'm not really complaining.
If I missed it, I wouldn't mind. Like J.B. Holmes
would. I would just pick it up. I probably wouldn't even putt. That's good. It's a gimme. It's a gimme in our world here, you know? It's a gimme.
There's so much money, though.
I'm teasing. I know.
If J.B. Holmes went 15 seconds faster, or 25 seconds faster, we would love that. But if it cost him one shot, and that's his mindset. He thinks that he just can't not be fully secure in what he's about to try to do. That swing only takes 1 second, maybe a second and a half. And there's all that preparation before that second and a half. So you can make that swing with no words. That's the key. Can that second or two be without words? And it takes him a long time to get to that place where he knows where he's going to start this ball in the whole nine yards. I've been through it, but I was a fast player. You know what I used to do if I had a super slow player in the group? I'd call the official over and ask him if they could start timing us to speed this guy up.
Oh, man, they must have loved you.
Right? I got to get to 19. Hurry it up, buddy. Hey, Paul, in 08. You were the captain of the Ryder Cup. We know the issues last year. Jim Furyk was the captain. Steve Stricker was just announced as the captain of the 2020 Ryder Cup. What's going to change? Because something needs to change. It was a little dysfunctional this year.
Home course is about the only thing. I mean, Stricker's been an assistant, and he's been the captain of the President's Cup, so he knows what to do.
Yeah.
He knows how to do it. The United States has got to figure out a way to win these matches. I mean, that last Ryder Cup team we took to Europe, I said, this is it. The streak is over.
Yep.
We're going to throttle those boys.
We said the same thing.
The dead opposite happened. If you look down the list of 12 names, there's not one name on there you would have said, well, let's just trade him for this American that didn't get on the team. There's not one. We had the best possible Ryder Cup team, and they just sent us packing. And I don't know. There's a dynamic, that you have to create in that team room. And you're going to create an environment. And sometimes that environment, our teams have been too casual. Sometimes we've been too amped up, too stressed. There's a perfect blend there somewhere. And what we need to do is put a microphone in that European team room and a secret camera.
Get some tips.
See what the heck they're doing. Because they get the most out of themselves.
Yeah.
They get, that's the key, isn't it? Under pressure, can I get the most out of my game today? And they get the most out of their game. They've got a built-in chip on their shoulder to beat the big, powerful Americans. And they've been doing it quite often lately. It's making me sick.
Us too, because the one before that on our soil, Patrick Reed was a beast. Mm-hmm. I mean, we won. It was nice. I was very surprised how poorly we played. Paul, we've got, I don't even know if we have enough time to ask you, maybe 20 seconds. Can you give us a little take on the players putting with the pin in? Not a lot of time. Can you give it to us quick?
Yeah, I think the jury's still out on that. You know, it's debatable. Bryson says he's going to putt with it in. I just think you can get weird shadows and stuff like that. I tried to putt with it in, and I haven't made a putt yet. So I'm pulling it out.
Okay. Nice. Zinger, yeah, have a great
– Doesn't it look weird? I'm waiting for some guy to tap in a three-footer downhill at Augusta.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to look weird.
You think somebody would do that? Really, at Augusta, 3 feet? I know you're saying that because it's incredibly slick.
If you got a three-footer to win the Masters straight down the hill,
yeah,
and you leave that pin in – I guarantee you're leaving the pin.
Wow. Okay. All right. Something else to look forward to. Hey. The Masters and golf season's underway. Have a great, great official debut. NBC Sports New. Great. Congrats on the promotion, man.
Congrats, Paul.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.